Bienvenidos a un nuevo episodio del podcast de Ruidosa Caracola en esta su octava temporada. En esta oportunidad conversamos con la banda Big Special, quienes estaban compartiendo la gira con Placebo y se dieron una vuelta por Buenos Aires, Argentina. Pudimos conversar con ellos, hablar de su nuevo sencillo Butcher's Bing y lo que vendrá también en su álbum Post-Industrial Hometown Blues, que saldrá el 10 de mayo. Por si acaso, dato curioso, el nombre del álbum Post-Industrial Hometown Blues va de la mano con el sonido de esta banda que en serio te vuela la cabeza. En este momento escuchamos la entrevista que tuvimos con la banda y de ahí se preparan para escucharlos.
Where starts the creative process of making this music with this message?
I think it started in Wuhan. I think it was the beginning of the beginning of the pandemic. But the pandemic gave us a lot of time to work on it, you know, and a lot of time to get to be reflective. I think everybody was very sad and had a lot of time to sort of think about things, you know.
So it started with like just reflecting on personal life, past, and what's going on around us and stuff like that. And we always say it's just important to us to make honest music that's just expressive of our lives. And I think the people that connect to it is because they, like yourself, you can just hear that it's honest. And if it's, even if it's a different situation or something specific to us, I think people can relate because it's just about life, you know. It's just about it's about us, it's about you, it's about whatever's happening to the people, you know. So I think it just starts with like reflecting and just making notes and stuff like that, and building on it from there.
And in the honesty of the music, there's also some points that you are touching that, you know, it could be very thoughtful, like mental issues, and very being political as well. How did you get involved as musicians or as an artist? How did you get involved with the political parts of the world, or where you've been touring, or the people that you've been knowing, and also capturing them with your personal issues and make it a piece of music on that?
It's just what's happening around us and to us. It's not like a plan for us to be like, we're gonna make mental health music or we're gonna make political music. It's just what's happening. So again, we just want to capture the moment, really, you know, what's happening personally, and relating that outwards and seeing the same things happening to the people we know or the people we see or hear about and stuff like that.
Most of the music we listen to is from a similar place of just honesty, people reflecting on their own lives. Because even if you're singing about something that has only just happened to you, that maybe hasn't happened to someone else, the emotion of it, they can still relate to. People can still understand the emotional side of it, even if they don't particularly understand exactly, you know, where it is.
Yeah.
I'd like to think the emotion carries it forward, you know?
Yeah. Definitely. So like I say, in a lot of art that we love, you know, it comes from different types of people and different places in the world, and we might not necessarily share the experience, but you can relate to the feeling or the meaning.
And musically, and also the blues and the industrial part of your music that sounds huge, like a huge, huge band. And sometimes you, I think a very cool point that your band has is that when you experience your music, you can find many musicality in your music besides the message and the lyrical part. When you start to make these songs, because it has its own space, its own personality, how you start the musical part of your songs from the I don't know, the voice note that you have an idea and then becomes the production part, the demo, the pre-production, yeah, and the production. How is that ride from the beginning to a song in all the streamings?
We really like experimenting and just jamming and messing around, and everything's born from that, really. Like we like to get in a room and we'll record, like us just messing around, and we'll clip it and make loops and then make a demo, and then we'll take that demo to our producer Mike, and then we'll like go over the demo and stuff, and then lyrically, like but especially the spoken side, I can work on lyrics without any sort of music, because it's just like spoken poetry a lot of the time. So then I can have some lyrics in my mind for us to mess around with some music too, or it comes after. Yeah.
And the lyric, the explosion that you have when these parts, these spoken words, melodies, as can I discover in some songs, and the exploding part of telling all this and explore and explore yourselves, and you have to be in a certain part or touch certain feelings of yourself to translate that to a song, especially in the parts that it are very powerful, and in the, I think, is the parts of the songs.
Yeah, I think we do it to make music, you know. It's we can do all that because we are doing it through music, you know. If we were to express ourselves like that in the streets, we'd probably get arrested, you know. It's like so I think, you know, the being creative and, you know, standing in a place where people expect you to perform is the way we can address those feelings and stuff and like get it out, you know. Yeah, that's just.
And now, just to talk very specifically in the album and the singles that have been out, do you have a general idea before making or came up with the title Post-Industrial Hometown Blues?
Yeah. Yeah, we had the title before the album. It was the title a long time, and it's again, like saying what we are to the other questions and stuff, is that I just feel like it's a perfect name for the album, really. You know, it's just, we're going, this is where it's from, in a space, you know, this is where it's from in a space with the post-industrial, and this is where it's from emotionally with the blues, like the sad, you know, depression, sad blues, you know.
It's great. And now let's talk about some of the songs that already been out from the album. Let's begin with the latest one, the Butcher's Bing. Tell me the message of the song, the production part of the song.
Well, it's about the working class, really, and about how politically and socially and stuff the working class are ignored, and you know, a lot of people who aspire to be artists in the working class don't really get the chance, or might not believe they get a chance because of how society goes, or families and the generational like teachings of like just go to work and that's not for us and blah blah blah. And it's about that, really, and about like a realization of where I'm from, you know, and stuff like that, and what stuff is afforded to other people and all that sort of thing.
And our production wise as well, it's like our most, it's definitely our most synth heavy, most electronic part of the album, I'd say.
Guitars on this one.
Yeah. Everything else we normally blend in, some real instruments as well, you know, some guitars, not that synths aren't real.
Yeah.
I put some guitars, some bass and shit like that on, but this one's just all synth, rage. As I think it just went along with the emotion of the song. You know, it didn't need to be overcomplicated.
No. This is our dance track.
Yeah, this is our zone. You can dance or mosh. You can mosh and dance to this.
Mosh, kiss.
You can kiss to this. It's a kissing song.
And one thing that I noticed in this song is because of the industrial part of the name of the album and the concept of the album, it takes me to the 90s, the London, the London 90s industrial music. I think it's kind of have that vibe, and it's great to I think some music fan and that it was kind of impossible or I think people have forgotten that part of the industrial music, the working class message. I think you nailed it perfectly with this song, and it's great. So thank you for this song. Now let's talk about Dust Stuff.
Yes, that was our last single, the one that came out just before this.
Yeah.
We have quite a lot of tongue in cheek, you know, across the album. There's some like more levity, you know, there's a bit more moments of, you know, where we don't take it too seriously, we take it seriously, but we don't labor the point of aggression. But I think Dust Off's probably the angriest track on the album. It's probably the most visceral part of the album in terms of aggressiveness and rage, really. Yeah. It's a very bottled up song.
Pissed off song, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like that's essentially what it is. You know, all the songs really all come from a different shade of the same place, and it's just another version of that, really. And it's just about being angry just how hard it is at the moment, like for certain people in England and that and the world. You know, that's the point, really, is that it's about us, but if it's about us, then it's about everyone, because we're all, you know, all doing the same shit, you know, living the same lives, you know, other than the hierarchy, like the social hierarchy and stuff. So it's about our point, our place in that hierarchy, and just fucking moaning about the struggle.
I think that's the best part of it, really, especially playing it live. It's the bit where you feel everything fucked up that happened that last day, everything that pissed you off that day. Yeah. We can just get it out in that song. Do you know what I mean? You've had a bad weekend, and then we get to get on stage, and I get to beat seven lumps of shit out of my drum kit to that song. That cheers me up. And then we go straight in the set. We then go to probably one of our happiest songs. So, you know, it's.
I think it sounds happy.
Sounds happy. Yeah, more uplifting sounding songs. Yeah. But
we don't have happy songs.
I think it's a very good. It's a good vent. It's a very. It's good to let the steam off on that one. You know.
Yeah.
In a safe and encouraging, controlled environment. Yeah, because as we say, you know, if we stomped around as angry and violent as we did in that song, in everyday life, we'd probably get arrested. So that's the.
That's why it exists in music.
Yeah, yeah.
It's you two guys. Looks like you left everything on this album, because you look. You look and sound like the nicest guys in the industrial music, and I think it's the magic of music, when you found yourself and in a way that you can express yourself and let everything out there.
We don't like it when bands pretend to be like the sound of their music.
Mm.
You know, it's what we do. It's not who we are.
Yeah.
And
you always say it really well. We take the art very, very seriously, but we don't take ourselves seriously at all.
No,
because that's the problem, you know. We're just two blokes. Do you know what I mean? We're just two Muppets. So
yeah, we haven't got to have an interview and be like, "Oh, like fucking
your dust off is angry because we're angry." That's embarrassing.
I feel like it's insulting to the audience sometimes because it's like, you know, someone can like a song without being that angry as well. You know what I mean?
It puts yourself onto a pedestal of being like, I am the product. I'm the product of my art. Not
yeah,
that art is the product of me, which is the wrong way around. You know.
Yeah, you can't eat your own shit.
You can't eat your own shit, and God knows we've tried.
You're amazing, guys. Now let's talk about Desperate Breakfast. I think this is a huge one.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we're really sad we didn't get to play it last night. We only had a half hour set, and we've got too many bangers,
too many songs,
too many tunes.
But yeah, man, it's about going to work in the morning and having to get shovel down to breakfast and just don't want to go. You know, not having any options and stuff like that.
Mm.
And musically, this song, how did you achieve the message to be straight as you wanted? Because sometimes as a breakfast could be the most normal thing in a person, but make it artistically and emotionally to the way that a breakfast sucks. Because it's the beginning of a working day.
Yeah. It's just about it's a common thing, isn't it, between us all? Is that like if you're hungry or not, you've got to get that in before you get to work, and it's even if it's nice, it's shit because you got to just fucking and then go.
It's probably the fact that it's the removal of any option as well that makes it so shit. You know what I mean? We're both we like food. We haven't got a problem with breakfast. It's just when you haven't got a fucking choice because you've got a 12-hour shift ahead of you. And if you don't eat now, you ain't going to eat for 8 hours.
Yeah.
You know, that's, but in a larger picture, it's the removal of choice.
Yeah.
From the working class, you have to work, you have to get up, you have to go to work again, you have to go back to sleep, you have to get up and go to work again. And it's a never ending cycle that doesn't fuck off. And breakfast is one of the sort of main starting points of that horrible fucking cycle.
It's just a symbol of the start of the day. And, you know, if you are working class or lower in like the social hierarchy and that, you've probably got less choice of what your job is and stuff. So it's just talking about breakfast to just show the start of the day. Someone, you know, sitting there just having that moment before you go and do the thing you don't want to do again.
Thank you, guys. We're running out of time, and I just want to thank you to talk to you and listen to your music, and not just live in the streaming services. It's amazing to discover new music, and as I said, keeping the industrial part of the music alive. So I want to please ask you for a message for the working class artist, as you are.
Well, you always say, don't you, that the advice isn't comforting advice, but it's honest, is that you just have to keep going, because if you haven't got the resources or the privilege, there's nothing there to help you. So you've got to love what you're doing, love the craft, and do it because you love it and keep going.
Only way to beat them is on graft. That's the only thing you've got. You've got to beat them on graft.
Yeah. Graft means work.
Graft means work.
Thank you guys very, very much. And last words for Ruidosa Caracola.
Ruidosa Caracola. Look at that, nailed it.
Hey.
I'm like a local.
Thank you guys very, very much. It's been a pleasure.
Gracias, muchas gracias.
Take care.
Ahí tenían a Big Special, un nuevo invitado aquí en el podcast de Ruidosa Caracola. por si acaso. También el playlist de la banda ya también está en nuestro canal en Spotify, así que pueden, mientras escuchan el podcast, escuchan su música, o después de escuchar el podcast, escuchan su música, o antes de escuchar el podcast, escuchan su música. Hay de todo, muchísimas maneras para tripear nueva música. Yo soy Eric Mujica, yo los quiero muchísimo. Adiós.